Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Everyone has hot takes on sports.
Under pressure, yes, Kawhi is better than Kobe was.
Wait. What?
But sometimes we have to peel back the curtains and find out what kind of hot takes the Killer Bees have outside the world of sports.
Bananas are trash.
People don't actually like LaCroix.
Okay, surprising opinion.
It's time for Weird Take Wednesday on the Killer Bees.
All right, who made the list of weird takes this week on the latest edition of Weird Take Wednesday? We'll be leading off with today, Joe George.
Yeah, we're gonna go to Dan Orlovsky here.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, we are.
I like Dan. I want to have Dan on the show, but now I question if I can allow someone with such poor hygiene.
Yeah, seriously.
He can't ever be in studio. Dan Orlovsky gets into a conversation about showering somehow on Twitter, and he publicly admits that he only washes his towels once every 30 showers. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my life.
We all have wives. Even if you, and Dan Orlovsky does too, as well as kids. My question is, how does your wife allow this?
Like, great question.
There is no freaking way on the planet that Lisa is allowing this to happen for more than like 3 days at most.
I'm like a two towel. Yeah. And like, and my wife is a one. And I'm like, I don't have time to do all this laundry.
One might be a little excessive, but definitely in the 2 to 3 day range. And by the way, my wife has an all-world sniffer.
What?
Like, her nose, her ability to smell, like, she'll walk in the kitchen. You smell that? No, I don't. She's like, is that the dogs or you? I'm like, oh, come on. She smells everything in every room. There, 30 days? Like, we had this conversation about sheets. Even when I was single, my sheets even wouldn't go more than a week. But my towel, 30 days? Just think about that. How many showers a day are you taking? Two?
Yeah, to be fair, he didn't say 30 days. He said 30
showers.
Times.
That's still...
But that could be like 60 days.
What? No, it's not 60. It's not more.
It could be 40
exactly
days.
How many days do you go without showering?
This just flipped on you.
No, yeah. I usually shower.
Now you might be on the microscope. How many days do you possibly go without showering? I can't even go one.
I shower about once a day.
Yeah, once a day minimum. If you're at the gym, it's twice.
I'm mostly once a day.
I can't. There's not many not days that go by where I don't shower.
Look, there are times where I got to get up at 6 a.m. to get the kid to.
Random. You're our analytics guy. Do the math. If he said mostly like 40 days, 30 showers, we got a little grace period in there that I'm not comfortable with for Joe George.
What if I don't leave the house for a day?
You should be taking a shower a day, minimum. Shower a day minimum. That should be a rule.
Bat wings, pitch stink, you got it all going on?
Now, maybe Orlovsky takes like 3 showers a day, and this is only like a week and a half.
That's fair.
Yeah, but then you're drying off with a wet towel. If you're using the same towel and there's no way, even with 2 showers in a day, your towel's still moist from the first one when you take the second one. If you go 3, now you got a chance for even more mildew and buildup.
I think that Joe's being a little bit
nasty.
Egregious here. I think he's over-exaggerating a bit. Is this the nasty? Is this like the
grossest
thing he's ever heard? No, it's not the grossest thing he ever heard. You're taking a shower and you're drying off with a towel that might not be suitable. That's nowhere close to the grossest thing ever. I think the high end for me is probably 4 or 5 days. That's like high end for me. Now, you know a smell that I hate?
That you go without a shower or that it takes
you to wash your towel? You're not listening.
I'm kidding.
I said I take a shower minimum once a day.
We know Joe doesn't.
I'm saying the longest I'll go with the same towel is probably like maybe 5 days.
That's a dirty
maybe
stump.
Maybe 5 days.
That's
the longest
dirty,
you'll go with
dirty
that with
stump,
a,
Joe George.
With the same towel.
Oh, God,
what's
it's
the
filthy.
Longest?
The longest on the same towel? A week.
Yeah.
A week.
A week? Yeah, yeah. I think anything longer than 5-7 days is too much.
Yeah, I agree.
30 times?
That's a lot.
Like, that's at least 2 weeks. That's at least 2 weeks.
Now, the only caveat you could throw in there is if he goes to a gym and he showers at the gym, that maybe he's not taking all those showers at home per se. But man, if you're using the same towel 30 times, no matter how often
it's
or infrequently,
smell.
It's nasty.
Yeah,
terrible.
See, that's what I was getting to. Like the one smell that I hate more than anything else is like, you know, whenever you wash something and like you either forget that you
yes.
washed it,
oh, that's the worst.
Or that you didn't put it in the dryer
yep.
for a certain time, and it has like that little. It's almost like mild mildew or
yeah,
like borderline mildew.
It's a mildewy smell. Yeah.
Oh, I hate that. Like I immediately do like a hygiene wash where I'll throw some vinegar in there to try to like kill the stink, and I'll do like the extra soak at the beginning of it just to make sure I eliminate that smell. I hate that smell.
I mean, Kugble says you're drying off a clean body. What's so gross about it? Well, you're drying off a clean body with a dirty, nasty, mildewy, slimy towel that puts more funk on your body that you just got rid of. That's what's nasty about it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Largo says, what is the producer's smell, producer booth?
I would never, ever go into public without showering. Ever.
Okay.
But at home, you might go days.
No.
You can't face the funk on that nasty junk, Joe. You got to clean the stump.
Ah,
terrible.
How about this one for Weird Take Wednesday? This man sued B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings, about their boneless buffalo wings not being wings.
You call
but
them nuggets.
Yep. Now, I don't know if there's a lawsuit here. Like, I don't know if he can, like, actually, like, win something in court here. I think taking them to court is a bit much from this man. But I will say this. I agree with his premise. I agree with his take. I don't think this is a weird take. It's a weird take that he's taking them to court over this silly nonsense. There's way better things to be doing. But I do agree with him that boneless buffalo wings are not really wings.
I understand it but a name is just a name, right? I mean, the fact that you have it's an option at a wing joint, but if you're taking it to the level, this is like never say never, though. If you never thought that anybody could sue a McDonald's for if their clumsy ass spilled hot coffee on their lap and then they could sue McDonald's for it and win a lot. Yeah, and win a ton, then nothing's out of the realm of possibilities these days. And I think that this dude may end up winning something off this deal.
You think he's going to win something here?
Me personally, no. I'm just saying you can't say it's not possible to do that after
Man.
I saw a dude spill hot coffee on himself.
No, that one makes sense.
But see, what's the
that
like,
one
no,
makes
it
sense
does
to
it.
Me.
He's
got to
have a reasoning.
Because it was hot, like the temperature was hotter than what you should be serving to customers, and like he literally had burns on his skin. Like this,
but
dude,
it's only
because
he dumped it on his groin.
Like fake advertisement. Did he dump it or was there an accident? Like, I mean, there's certain things that you can prove. There's certain things like he, like that. That is a legitimate.
If you
like,
wanted,
concern.
If you wanted a different temperature, get cold coffee then. If you want hot coffee, you
but
understand
no,
you want it really
I
hot.
Think, like I remember reading on this, and like I understand, like surface level, it sounds ridiculous. But I remember like hearing, and maybe I'm mistaken, and maybe it's not, maybe it's a different situation altogether. But I remember that the dude that sued for spilled coffee, he was served coffee that was like way hotter than it was supposed to be served at. Where like they were negligent whenever they gave him that coffee. Where like this is just the preference of wings. Like there's nothing that like hurt this guy.
Yeah,
this guy
I mean,
didn't hurt
that,
at all. The other guy had burns.
He's suing them for false advertisement.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It is really pretty far-fetched.
Now they are chicken nuggets. I agree with that.
They're not
wings.
They're
What'd you say? They're not what?
They're boneless wings. They're not chicken nuggets.
They're not even boneless wings. They're chicken nuggets.
They're
chicken nuggets with buffalo sauce.
They're not
what they
the
are.
Same.
One of the most disturbing things that's currently going on with inflation, by the way, which I have a lot of pet peeves. One of my biggest pet peeves going on right now with the inflation is how the price of a real chicken wing is now like twice the price of these little boneless chicken nuggets that are going on. Have you noticed that?
Wait, the one with the bone is more expensive?
Way more expensive now. The traditional wings are way more expensive.
Really?
Yeah, if people say supply chain, people say inflation, whatever. The price of a traditional chicken wing is almost twice the price of a non-traditional, I'm not even going to call it a wing, these fake wings that people produce.
But the fake wings, as long as it's real chicken, that's a better quality of chicken meat.
Get out of here.
At a less price?
No way.
That's ridiculous.
No way it's better. You think of the boneless
you get If you get, like, essentially breast meat chicken with no bone, so you get more meat because it's not taking as much space as the bone, and you get it for a lesser price, I think that's advantage customer, regardless of what you call it.
You just landed on bad take,
that's
Lamar,
fine.
With that one. LeBron with a weird take here. Someone sent this to me and said, you guys need to talk about this on Weird Take Wednesday. LeBron was quoted as to saying, I have no idea how I became a right-handed basketball player. I think maybe it was because of Michael Jordan, Penny Hardaway. Seeing those guys shoot righty, I guess I'll shoot righty. I'm pretty much a left-handed guy. This is a weird take. He's a right-handed shooter because he watched Michael Jordan and Penny Hardaway shoot right-handed. Has nothing to do that his right hand is his dominant hand. It's because he saw Michael Jordan and Penny Hardaway shooting right-handed.
No, but he's saying he's left-hand dominant.
I don't believe him.
I don't believe him in a lot of ways. I'd like to see him like do other things and write and get all those answers to figure out if he really is. Does he write left-handed? Does he do all those other things? Because look, I've said I bat right-handed. I throw everything and do everything left-handed. The only reason I did is because when I was a kid, my dad said whatever side of the plate makes you
feel
comfortable.
You only had a right-handed
bat? No. He said whichever side of the plate, at when you swing, you feel most comfortable, and that's what we'll work with. And that's how it happened. Now, I wasn't a switch. I couldn't bat from the left side. But I would have a hard time believing that just by watching dudes, that's the dominant hand.
That's the thing. Like my Uncle Barney, as we know, he's a lefty, but he golfs right-handed because he only had right-handed golf clubs. So
that makes sense.
It was either you play golf using right-handed golf clubs, you don't play golf. So he picked up golf and learned how to play right-handed. He does everything else left-handed. He swings a bat left-handed. He has a left-handed bat, et cetera, et cetera. I do not buy this for one second. LeBron James has been how many times has LeBron James been proven to be a liar? There's
a
no
billion.
Way that LeBron James, watching Michael Jordan and Penny Hardaway on TV, seeing those guys is why he's a right-handed shooter.
Well,
I'm calling BS.
When did Penny get drafted?
93?
Joe, you forget. Maybe you weren't old enough. Penny Hardaway was the man for a lot of people until he got hurt. He was all world. They loved him.
So what was LeBron? Like
LeBron, was,
but everybody loved Penny. Everybody's a basketball fan loved Penny until he got hurt.
LeBron was what,
02
draft?
Yeah, 02 draft. He was 18.
Because he was drafted the year after Yao Ming. Oh, he was the 03 draft.
He was the draft with Melo and D Wade and
so he was
Bosh.
He was born in December 30th, 1984.
Okay,
so the draft was in 1993. She would have been 9 years old.
All right, I can buy that.
When he saw him in the NBA, what? What do you mean you can buy that?
Well, like who you idolize? Like you idolize people around that age.
But he's nine. He's already shot a basketball.
With that kid, with his basketball skill and ability. I think he started playing hoops a lot earlier than nine.
So what we're saying, so LeBron is basically saying he was a lefty until 1993, and then he became a right-hander.
He saw Penny Hardaway shoot a basketball as a rookie in 1993 when LeBron James was 9 years old, and all of a sudden LeBron James started to shoot right-handed?
He's a scumbag. I think I believe Chael Sonnen.
Interpret this as you will, Stump, but I don't think that adds up.
It doesn't add up.
Nothing LeBron says adds up.
I would agree with more and more.
Nothing the guy says adds up. All right, that's Weird Take Wednesday. Does the history of drafting a quarterback at number two scare you? Texans picking number two. They're supposedly in the market for a quarterback at number two. Does the history of QBs that have went second overall, does it spook you a bit? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Someone tweeting in their video of LeBron James throwing a football right-handed. He must not have watched Steve Young growing up. Steve Young's my favorite quarterback of all time. A lot of people are texting in, though, saying LeBron James signs autographs left-handed, that it's well known he does everything left-handed. That's fine. That's fine. People can write left-handed and do other things right-handed, whether it's swing a baseball bat, whether it's swing a golf club, whether it's shoot a basketball, whether it's throw a football. I'm calling BS on LeBron James, a right-handed shooter, because he watched Penny Hardaway. Like, there's no chance of that unless LeBron James didn't shoot a basketball until he was 9 years old.
I mean, when we think about, and I understand that, like, you know, you tie your dominant hand behind your back and you learn some things, and as you get older, it gets more difficult. But I call BS because I believe LeBron's been playing basketball from probably 4 or 5 years old and really starting to shoot and do things. I don't think you're going to reteach yourself based on the television and who you see play the game. You can add your less dominant hand. You can add to that, but I don't think that you do it like that.
No, Jeff, call him BS. Mike Garofalo, who covers football for NFL Network, has reported that the Houston Texans have signed Sheldon Rankins to a one-year, $10.5 million deal. DeMeco Ryans gets a big piece for his defensive front after 2 years with the Jets. Rankins heads to Houston. Rankins has been a pretty good football player. Mm-hmm. I always like to look at the pro football focus grades as soon as a player comes to the Texans. 73.1. I don't put all of my value on that, but that's a good score. This is a little surprising to me. Now, Rankins makes the Texans better. I think he's immediately your defensive tackle next to Malik Collins, which kind of downgrades the one-year signing that you made the other day of Hassan Ridgeway. But Ridgeway was a $4 million one-year deal. That was kind of just a body in the room. Now, I think he would have started over Roy Lopez, but he's definitely not starting over Sheldon Rankins. Sheldon Rankins and Malik Collins makes for a pretty good middle of a defensive line.
Yeah,
I don't know if I love the one-year deal, though.
Yeah, that's where I, and I know that you've tweeted about this recently too, but you're right. I mean, look, I think gone are the days when the one-year deal makes the most sense for the Texans because they're not just trying to get warm bodies on the roster while they dig their way out of what Bill O'Brien left behind. You're trying to do more things, and you just saw some of the fruits of 1 year of labor get lost with guys that have got away or guy that got away with – however you pronounce his last name, the big O that they got from the Rams. But I think, yeah, that's – look, if he's got anything left in the tank at all and he's good, why not give him 2 years? That's not that much money, and he's a big body that can clog the middle and stop the run. And I don't mind having a guy like that around at his age for 2 years.
Yeah, I think Sheldon Rankins is a good player. I think he's probably – I think he's a good scheme fit for DeMeco Ryans as well. I don't love the one-year deal. Like, I just don't quite understand the one-year deal. And, you know, Joe was talking about that a little bit earlier, like with Ogbo. Like, what's the point? Like, give him a second year. So that's kind of curious there. But I do think that the Texans get a little bit better with that signing. Texas Reg asking you, Joe. He wants to know if you use soap.
Yes.
Shave cream. He used shave cream and shampoo. That's all he needs.
I use soap.
You sure? Use soap?
Yeah, I don't use shaving cream. I don't shave ever.
Well, that's right, because you want to look like Brendan. Do you use liquid soap or bar soap?
I don't shave. I don't shave.
Do you use electric razor?
We certainly don't manscape. We know that.
How do you know that?
Do you know that?
Because you, anybody that lets themselves go the way Joe does, I don't think is that concerned with his hygiene.
I think I'm going to have to go to HR right now.
You know, the people here use HR and P.
I'm really
concerned. I don't know if you know that. Good. Be concerned. It's about time.
Man.
Dial in, Stump.
We're here for the long haul. I do not think you're prepared for what you just fired off on Twitch.
What do you mean?
They're going to come at you hard for that one.
For which one?
The Manscaped comment.
Why? Do you think? Wait, time out. You think that they're in your corner?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's shocking to me.
You said you knew if he manscaped or not.
So what?
It's weird.
There's many different ways you manscape, but hygiene. Take care of yourself.
I have no idea if Joe manscapes or not, and you shouldn't either.
I don't know, but I can make assumptions based on a guy that gets 30 showers in 40 days and thinks that's okay.
I didn't say that was me. I said it with Dan Orlovsky.
But did you, though?
Okay. I shower like almost 7 days a week every week.
Almost. He throws the almost
because
in there.
I can't guarantee they go 30 for 30.
Okay. How do I segue out of this? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Adrian is trying to flex on us a little bit.
Yeah.
Adrian says, I don't know if y'all talked about it already since Brandon was out Friday, but did y'all see that Yuli signed a minor league deal with Miami, but somehow I ended up on Bad Take Boulevard for making this suggestion 2 months ago? A little confused emoji. I'm calling you out, Brandon. Well, here's where you went wrong, Adrian. Here's where you went wrong. Yuli's contract with the Miami Marlins is not a minor league deal. It is not a minor league deal. He signed a big league contract with the Miami Marlins to be part of their active roster. So, Adrian, you're trying to fret. You're trying to flex. You're calling me out with all capital letters. Yuli Gurriel's contract with Miami was not a minor league deal.
Why are we crying over spilled milk? He's gone. He ain't coming back. Are you upset that the Astros...
Oh, it was a minor league deal. My bad. He's right.
But I'm just
He's
saying...
right. My bad.
What does it matter? Regardless of what it was, I think that they were very clear that they wanted to see if Yuli was going to test the market, what he thought he could get. Yeah, they were very fond of what he did for the organization. Yeah, they will be forever grateful, but they also weren't going to overpay. He didn't exactly play great last year, see Branham. And then from that point, he's also very old. So I don't think they were going to go out of their way to throw money at him, and they were wise to let him play the market, see what he thought his value was, because it would allow them to do what they, if they were going to bring him back at all, allow them to do what they had planned for him if they brought him back, and that was be a utility guy that didn't play every day, which he probably didn't like, but that's why they said, go out and test the market then.
Yeah, I mean, they got Abreu. They got an upgrade there. Yeah, my bad. I thought it was a major league deal. I'm surprised that Yuli signed the minor league deal.
He didn't have much other options.
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded if the Astros signed Yuli to a minor league deal. Like, in fact, I'm a little disappointed that it wasn't, now that I know that. Because why not? Like, why not have him play at Sugar Land? If he's willing to play in the minors, like, yeah, have him play at Sugar Land. Have him be the emergency first baseman in case Jose Abreu gets hurt. So that does make me a little disappointed, actually. And I apologize, Adrian. I thought it was a big league deal. You're right to call me out. I admire you calling me out. People are sending us text messages saying that Ezekiel Elliott has just been released.
That was earlier.
Cowboys released. Well, I think it was reported, but now it's like officially hit the wire.
Okay.
Justin said, talk mess about them. I won't talk mess about him, but 3667 will. Zeke Elliott is officially available, and the Texans have needed a center. Scoop him up.
It's funny. It's funny, although you forget that he got pancaked backwards. The only snap that I saw him get behind or center the ball last year, so I'll pass.
That's his last play as a Cowboy.
That's true.
That is his last play as a member of the Dallas Cowboys, is him getting smashed, reverse pancaked, trying to set up a block. That's not a great look. I wonder what his future of the NFL is like, because I still think he plays. I don't think anybody's going to give him significant money. I don't think he's ever going to be a number one running back in the NFL. I'm kind of curious how the rest of his career plays out, because, you know, it was a big name early in his career, was great early in his career, has been paid lots of money. I'm curious what the next 3 to 5 seasons look like for Zeke.
Jeremy, dare I say, I don't know that Zeke plays another down in the NFL.
I don't think that's that wild of an opinion. Like, I think somebody would be interested in picking him up. I don't know if he's going to want to play on a
low Carmelo
contract,
syndrome.
Backing
yeah.
people up. Yeah.
He's been dinged up too. Unless it's a team that has a chance to win a Super Bowl and maybe he just feels like, I'll go along on the ride for a flyer, not used very often to try and catch a ring. But other than that, I mean, he's been dinged up. His skill set has diminished quickly. He's made enough money. I really have a hard time believing that there's teams that are going to be interested in him and he's going to be interested in them, and I don't know that the right situation will be there.
Yeah, I'm curious, very curious what Zeke's market looks like the next, maybe just this year, maybe not even the next few years, maybe just this
I
year.
I think this might be the only year the window's still open.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. All right, let's take a look at the history of drafting a quarterback at number 2. And does it scare you if you're a Houston Texan fan that wants a quarterback at number 2? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, March Madness is here. The tournament is on. So why don't you have some fun with MyBookie.ag? Whether you're betting the favorites or the dogs or you've got some inside information, you can win big at MyBookie.ag. MyBookie has all the games, lots of player prop bets too. You can bet on individual player points, rebounds, assists, and threes. If you know that you're college hoops and you really know the players involved, player prop bets could be an avenue for you. Getting started is really simple. Visit MyBookie.ag, make your first deposit, use the promo code BET975, claim an exclusive deposit bonus of up to $1,000. It's in your account almost instantaneously, and you have more money to play with, more chances to win, and more games you can bet on. MyBookie not only has the tournament games, you can also bet NBA on a nightly basis, PGA Golf, NHL, XFL, and MLS, and a whole lot more. Who do you like to win the World Series this year? Bet on it right now. MyBookie.ag. Remember, get a welcome bonus with your initial deposit up to $1,000 by using our promo code BET975. And as I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's MyBookie.ag and that promo code BET975.
Your teams, our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Coming out with half of the Killer Bees tomorrow at Drift Bar. I'll be doing the show from Birmingham ahead of the NCAA tournament. The Wheelhouse will be there as well. So come hang out with your favorite ESPN 97. Well, your second, third,
no.
favorite
no.
ESPN 97.5, 92.5 personalities. Blankers, I did a little bit of a deep dive. Did a little
Shocker.
Bit of a deep dive on quarterbacks that have been drafted number 2. In the NFL draft. You can probably figure out why I did that. Mm-hmm. Kind of curious what the quarterbacks that have been drafted number 2 in the draft have looked like. And quite honestly, It's a bit spooky. It's a bit scary if you're a Houston Texan fan that wants a quarterback at number two. Now, I'm not a huge believer in like what has happened in the past is going to happen in the future and that history repeats itself type of thing. Like, everything is different. I'm not a huge history always repeats itself kind of guy. But this is going to scare you a little bit. Here are the quarterbacks drafted number two in the draft this millennium. There's been five. There's been five of these guys. The most recent was Zach Wilson, 2021. Zach Wilson's about to be the backup quarterback for Aaron Rodgers for the New York Football Jets. More, a little bit before that, 4 years before that, 2017, Joe George's Chicago Bears traded up to the number two spot of the NFL draft to select Mitch Trubisky. It was a Pro Bowler. Mitch Trubisky was drafted second in the 2017 draft. The year before that, there was another quarterback drafted number two. His name was Carson Wentz. Philadelphia Eagles selecting him. Now, Wentz was pretty good early.
He was going to win an MVP until he blew his knee out.
He was pretty good early in his career. So, you know, was Wentz the anomaly here? Maybe, maybe not. The year before that, there was a quarterback taken at number two. Marcus Mariota, the 2015 number two pick of the NFL draft. And then the last one, or the I guess the first one of this millennium, was Robert Griffin III in 2012 by Washington. So since the turn of the millennium, there's been five quarterbacks drafted number two in an NFL draft. Zach Wilson, Mitch Trubisky, Carson Wentz, Marcus Mariota, and Robert Griffin III. Blankers, that's not a murderer's row of like Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Ain't great, but there's a lot of reasons why they didn't succeed, right? Robert Griffin III had a really, really good rookie year and got the crap beat out of him and was twisted like a pretzel and just was never the same. Carson Wentz, like you said, won a Super Bowl and was three-quarters of the reason why they got there and didn't see it through because of an injury, but quite probably was going to win the MVP. But Mariota was a huge bust. I mean, Joe, I'll let you speak on your favorite quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, because I don't know. Jeremy spins it whether he was a Pro Bowler. I mean, I obviously never celebrated more than the fact that the Bears took Trubisky because it made sure the Packers were dominant for another 5 to 7 years.
I think Trubisky's in a different category. I think he belongs in the category with Zach Wilson and why you don't draft Anthony Richardson. Guys that don't play in college, Trey Lance, same thing. Like, you take a quarterback off 13 games?
Right.
What are you doing?
It's the Brock Osweiler like, sample size game?
They're not playing enough. Like, there's a reason why they're not playing enough. Mitch Trubisky couldn't win the starting job at North Carolina his junior year.
So what's that game threshold for you, though?
I think you want to see two seasons.
So does Anthony Richardson qualify or not qualify?
Doesn't qualify because he didn't play enough.
Yeah, he was kind of a backup. Yeah. I mean, he played seven games, but he only threw 64 passes.
Because, like, everything becomes projection. There's no factual basis, basically, of improvement. Now, Anthony Richardson might be the one guy to say, okay, maybe these people at Florida are just idiots. Look at Dameon Pierce. Like, they barely gave him the ball.
Yeah, so, but, like, I mean, you know why I struggle with that, though, is, like, Dan Mullen's not a bad offensive
coach.
No,
he's not.
Like, Dan Mullen produced Dak Prescott. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Dan Mullen, I would quantify him as that kind of guy.
It seems like he doesn't have it together at Florida, though.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, how to use his weapons, the quality of guys
he has there. I disagree, actually. I think Mullen had one really bad year, and it came in his final year, and it cost him his job. Because didn't he have them playing in back-to-back New Year's Six Bowl games. Three in a row.
He had,
Dan Mullen was there for 4 years.
The heir apparent
in
Tampa Bay.
New Year's Six games. He went to the Peach Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and then had a bad year and then got fired. Yeah, he had Trask. But Trask didn't really play. Trask didn't play a whole lot except for that 1 year.
He had 1 year where he started every game, didn't
he? Yeah, but he was almost to like Joe's point where he was kind of a 1 year wonder.
Yeah.
Well,
for me, Mullen was a good coach at Florida except his last year.
See, it's I look
just live up to the expectations.
I guess Trask played the last 2 years. My bad.
I look at this draft and each draft as being its own separate entity. So I understand, and it always depends on needs and teams and moving up and where they're going to select and how they get where they need to go. But look, that's an awful list. And I think that if you look at three quarterbacks taken at number three overall, and I forget who was doing the exercise, but one of the shows one of their shows talking about some of that. It might have been Granato a couple weeks ago. And it's just, you know, there's not a lot of hits. And the one that kills everybody is the Deshaun, the same draft with Trubisky, because Deshaun and Mahomes slipped and they were the two best quarterbacks in the draft. So, yeah. And arguably one of the best quarterbacks, maybe when it's all said and done of all time, went below top 10. So when you think about all those things, it's hard to really qualify everybody that screwed up or every quarterback that didn't live up to billing. But the bigger thing for me is just how many question marks surround every one of these guys at the top of the draft.
Like, you mean, you're talking about Mahomes being number 12.
Yeah.
We know that Brady was an anomaly. He was a six-round draft pick. But even, I mean, even Joe Montana was a third-round draft pick.
Well, Rodgers slipped to 20, whatever it was.
That's what, like, I think to me, I just don't think, like, you can look at history of the number two pick and say anything definitively. I know it's pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But I just think we don't know the answer, and they can't figure it out. Why was Russell Wilson taken in the third or fourth round and successful? Why was Tom Brady taken in the sixth round? Why was Patrick Mahomes taken where he was?
And at the same time, Russ was small.
Yeah.
So maybe, but he went all the way to the third round, but he succeeded. Baker Mayfield was small, but had a good postseason run, and suddenly went all the way up to the number one overall pick, and he hasn't succeeded. So it's an imperfect science all the time across the board, and that's why I'm saying in each draft, it's its own entity, and it's an imperfect science. And it's really interesting that with all the question marks, that's why, you know, and Jeremy, yesterday, I don't know if you caught it or not, but it's a conversation you and I had. Like, it used to be just crucified if you spent two first-round picks 2 years in a row on a quarterback. Now, because there's a track record of doing it, and the most important thing is getting it right, and it's not unheard of, it's something that you can always consider. Like, if you swing and miss on a Josh Rosen, the next year, if you get the number one pick, it doesn't mean you can't take Kyler Murray. You know, if you look at it and say from a Texans perspective, because of all the question marks with these top tier and all these quarterbacks that could go in the first round, you could take one, and it's tougher because in a year's time, you probably got to make a pretty firm evaluation. But if it's not there and your team sucks and you get the top pick or the top two pick in the draft, you could do the same thing again next year.
Yeah. Five quarterbacks this millennium drafted number two. Zach Wilson, Mitch Trubisky, Carson Wentz, Marcus Mariota, Robert Griffin III. Prior to this millennium, Donovan McNabb in 99. That turned out pretty good. Ryan Leaf in 98. That did
that
not.
Didn't.
Rick Meyer from Notre Dame, 93, did not. Archie Manning from 71 did.
Not bad.
I agree with you. I think that every draft is its own entity. Mm-hmm. Terrell says each class in the draft is different. What does this say? Each class is different. The history of the second pick means nothing to me. I tend to agree with that. I really do. I don't put a whole lot of stock in how scary it is with quarterbacks recently drafted at number two. But to your bigger point about, like, okay, these are the guys at number two, not great. You mentioned the Granato of the bench perhaps the other day talking about number quarterbacks that went number three or top three, not great. We just went through a list of quarterbacks who were drafted outside of the first round or that were not in the top 10 of the first round. I just think it's such an inexact science of how these quarterbacks are evaluated. For me, the biggest takeaway is, like, trade down. Like, trade down. Give yourself more bullets. Give yourself more opportunity. If it's an inexact science of who gets picked in the top three versus which quarterbacks go in the top 15, why wouldn't you give yourself more bullets? Why wouldn't you give yourself more ammunition to where if you do hit on quarter or miss on quarterback, where there's just as many misses in the top three as there is the top 12, why not trade down, give yourself more bullets, give yourself more ammunition to improve the rest of the team around it? If you
why not also trust your
random,
gut?
Hit and be random.
Trust your gut. I'm not saying that, you know.
If you trust your gut, though, you're not getting the extra ammunition.
Well, trust your gut might be that, yeah, you could just pass on quarterback. If you don't believe any of these guys are truly going to turn out to be the kind of guy that you need, then trust your gut and move in a different direction and take your chances. Because I know it's not the popular opinion with all the experts and the fan base, but then again, we're talking about a guy whose butt might be on the line, and
the
he's going to get.
Part about that though, Blankers, is like, well, who's your quarterback going to be? Like that's the fear of that.
It's Davis because, Mills now,
but Jeremy, it's also the fact that in doing so, you realize that that's okay for one more year because then you still will put yourself in a position.
Just say it's okay to have Davis Mills for one more?
No, I'm not talking about Davis Mills. I'm saying. But you ask who the quarterback is, that might be the best case scenario because if you don't know who the quarterback is, they're probably not going to be great on offense. And now you could get pick from a draft class that has better options and more complete players in a year.
Yeah, I mean, I want Will Anderson at two and then a trade back into the top 10 to select whatever quarterback falls.
Oh, not whatever quarterback falls. You know which one you want to fall in your lap, mayonnaise and coffee guy.
You're talking about Will Levis?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the only logical answer when Branham and quarterback and draft are all mentioned.
I was trying to get through a show without mentioning his name, but yeah, you were right.
Liar. You can't mention that liar's name anymore.
What are you like, D'Amico and
liar?
He's either a liar.
What are you? You're either Jimmy Kimmel during the Oscars or D'Amico and Casario when talking about or not
it's
talking
not
about
true.
Their quarterback.
We proved that wrong the other day. Casario said
only
Davis
used the first
name.
Could have been a lot of guys named Davis.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of guys named Davis that's in the Texans quarterback room.
Will Levis said that he does not put mayonnaise in his coffee, and it was a bit.
He said it's not a routine thing.
So he's a liar.
He's not a liar.
That's it. He's out of the top 10. He's done. Can't be picked.
No, you can't be in the top 10.
Can't trust a liar.
You can't be in top 10 with mayonnaise in your coffee. You can't be in the top 10.
He likes fatty coffee. He cares about his bod.
You're still disgusting, Will.
It is disgusting. It's not worse than taking this. You know, I'm sure he takes more showers than you do, though.
Jesus.
Just saying.
Not you too, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's always supposed to be Joel being a bully.
Is it stink or is it stump?
Because
it could be both. It could be the stinky stump. I don't know.
I'm not going to call you that. Self-proclaimed nickname. I'm not calling you that.
713. I didn't give it to
stink, where are we in the show? What are we doing next?
713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. The big tournament starts tomorrow. The 64 teams begin tomorrow. What's your final four? Who cuts down the nets in Houston? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, I want to remind you right now about the best Italian food in the area. It is Frankie's Italian Kitchen, and it is a place that you have to try because if you try it once, you'll be back again because Chris Smith, not only the owner, he's the chef that prepares all the food. Everything's made from scratch daily. Everything is fresh. All the ingredients, everything that he puts into it, because he knows you're going to come in hungry and he wants you to leave full and happy. And that means you don't worry about which fork you use and how you dress. You worry about sitting down to have great food amongst friends and family, staying for a while, and then telling your friends about where you went and what you ate because they're going to want to try it too. You want to have some cocktails, relax, and watch some sports? It's Dino's Bar. It's right there within the facility. 8 big screen TVs and all the drinks that you want to drink. While you can, again, spread out and enjoy a really comfortable environment, it is a fantastic opportunity for you to sample great food, great fare, and that's even pizza and wings. They're fantastic, too. You want to do the brunch on Sunday? Try Saturday and Sunday, both available at Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Also, the weekly lunch specials and, of course, the dinner menu. Check it all out, frankiesitaliankitchentx.com. And while you're at it, if you're in the Fulshear, Richmond, Sugarland, Katy area, it is right where it needs to be, close to you, right off of 99 and 1093. But if you're not, it's worth the drive. You're going to love it, and you're going to realize what I keep telling you. It's great, great Italian food. Tell them I sent you by. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's that time again. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5's 5th Annual Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light, supported by Rudy's Barbecue. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 giving away tons of prizes worth over $50 each, and it's all free. You can sign up free for the Bracket Challenge, and you can win prizes worth $50 or more. Free food, free drink. Why wouldn't you sign up? Prizes include gift cards to Frankie's Italian Kitchen, Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, Chewy's, The Burger Joint, and much more. We could be buying you dinner for nothing. Head to ESPN975.com to register now. It's Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. Blankers, what does your final four look like? This is the final day we can talk about this. Tournament kicks off tomorrow. I cannot wait. I will be distracted doing tomorrow's show, as will you. You'll be adrift in the heights.
Yep.
So swing on by. Say hello to Blankers, the ESPN 97.5, 92.5 team. The Wheelhouse will be there as well. If you're looking for a spot to watch the tournament day one, not these play-in games in Dayton, day one of the tournament, head to Drift Bar in the Heights tomorrow. Biggest TVs in the Heights, dog-friendly, good drink, good people, ESPN 97.5 will be there. So head over to Drift in the Heights if you're looking forward to watching basketball tomorrow. But what does your final four look like? Who do you have cutting down the nets?
I got Alabama, Arizona,
okay,
Texas, and your Cougars.
Attaboy. I like it.
I mean, to me, I've seen all these experts and all these people trying to get their clicks up by picking final fours that involve, like, UConn and Duke and Marquette. And even worse than that, I'm going, okay, all right, well, I mean, see what you want to see and win or lose accordingly. But I know that's the hot thing to do right now, but again, I'm trusting that, you know, unlike Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to keep it to yourself or know what the decision is without telling us. But unless there's a big problem with Mr. Sasser, I still got to believe in the Cougs.
Who are you going with, Joe George?
Yeah, my Final Four is Alabama, USC,
ooh,
Houston, and UConn.
Well, there's one of those guys.
Well, no, but
say it again.
Alabama, USC, Houston, UConn.
USC?
Yeah, that's the one that caught my
attention. As a 10 seed?
So there has been a 7 seed or higher in all but two of the Final Fours since, I think it's like 2004. So when you make your bracket, like you, the odds say you got to put one team in there, and I've been watching them towards the end of the season for some reason because I can't sleep apparently because of my kid.
Because of the fact that you're stinky stump and you don't shower enough.
Shut up.
That's what it could be.
I'm going to turn your mic off.
It could very much be the case.
USC's playing good basketball, and someone's going to make a run, and I think they might be the team to do it. UConn, I think, has played good basketball this year too from what I've seen, and I don't believe in Kansas. So.
You got USC beating Michigan State, Marquette, possibly Kentucky, and Duke.
Well, I have Kentucky losing in the first round, so.
Oh.
You have losing to Providence?
Yeah, Cal Perry is a fraud.
But he's got talent. He's a fraud with talent every year.
And and the best player on Providence's team is a transfer from Kentucky. So,
guess what?
Like
the best
that.
Player on Kentucky's team was the player of the year last year.
Chihuahua.
He can play.
Not Chihuahua. What's how you say his name?
You go ahead and finish it. I mean, it starts with an O.
You're the play-by-play guy.
Is it a Buke?
Chihuahua's the guy from USF. It's like Tabalwe or something. I don't forget.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. But it's spelled like T C H. Yeah, Tashibi
or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it because I've never had one of his games. But no, he's the last year's player of the year and came back.
But I have Houston beating Alabama to win the title.
As do I.
Rematch.
As do I.
Y'all are chalk.
I made two brackets because I think Texas or no. Actually, I'm not. I don't believe in that, but. I think the winner of Houston, Texas in the Elite Eight is going to win the national championship.
I think there's a decent chance A&M beats Texas.
I don't. I don't know that A&M gets out of the first round.
I agree. I think Penn State
A&M,
might be. Yeah.
I've seen Penn State play, and they're pretty talented. And I don't – look, Buzz finally figured it out for all the money that he was making this year, but I'm not sure that they're there yet. And I don't know that they've got the stones of a tournament team to endure what they need to endure. I think they're vulnerable.
Oh, man. They beat Bama. They beat Bama at home in the regular season finale, but then they got their brakes beat off of them in the SEC title game. A&M's been playing really well. I think A&M is the worst-seeded team in the tournament, if I'm being completely honest. There's no way they should have been a 7 seed.
Arizona, after winning the Pac-12,
they're good.
I think they're really good.
I think Arizona-Alabama, the regional final in the South, is something that we're going to see. I think it's going to be a really good game. Alabama's weird because I thought Alabama was limping to the finish, to be honest with you. After the Brandon Miller news, like they seemed like they were a team that was playing distracted. Now, they weren't losing a lot of games, but they were barely winning a lot of games.
They were squeaking
They were squeaking out some dogfights that they shouldn't have been in, quite frankly. But then the SEC tournament started and, you know, the calendar turned to March and it's like, oh, okay, Alabama is back. This is the Alabama I've seen all year before the distraction. So I do think that they're back. I think the tournaments have kind of rejuvenated them after some distractions that were going on there. Arizona's a really good team. I like UCLA a lot too. Unfortunately, they lost one of their starters. That's kind of a big story.
Who?
I forget his name, but it's like they're starting. It's one of their starters. They lost a starter. I forget.
They didn't
his name.
Lose Tiger or
no, it wasn't Juzang or Tiger.
Okay,
but they lost one of their starters.
Johnny Juzang came out, didn't he? It's the other guy.
The other guy. I don't know their names by you know.
Well, my wife went there, so I watch their games whether I like it or not sometimes.
What's I always get Jaylen those confused. Yeah, Jaylen Clark's the one that's hurt.
And their leading scorer that's an NBA prospect.
The kid, I don't know how to say his first name. Adam?
No,
Bona?
No. No, I'll look it up. Look, I like UCLA, and they were starting to peak at the right. They're peaking at the right time. But I saw what you saw, Jeremy, firsthand. And that is, I saw that Alabama U of H game.
I was thinking of Jaime Jaquez. That's who I was thinking. Jaime Jaquez and Juzang. Yeah, yep. I get those confused. But
and Juzang came out and it was a horrible mistake. But that team I thought was talented to go a lot farther last year. I think this year's team is capable and they're well coached. But I think when you look at that Alabama team, I think the one team that it already proved that they should have beat them and they can beat them is a healthy Cougar team. Because, look, when you look at Alabama, it's their length, it's their athleticism, it's the ability to guard all five positions on the floor, and then they've got a stud that can do what you need to do down the stretch when they need a bucket in Miller. I look at all of that and say, the one thing that I know for sure is I saw the head-to-head, and I saw the Cougars up by 10-plus. Weren't they up 15?
Yeah, they were up 15.
Yeah, and they just kind of got complacent, and they just kind of, you know, rested a little bit. But I don't think Kelvin Sampson and the Cougars are going to let that happen again, and I think that they're the team that's capable of beating anybody if healthy. So as long as Sasser's good to go, that's why I like the Cougs.
Congratulations to Sasser, too. He was named a first-team All-American yesterday. First-team All-American in U of H basketball history since Hakeem Olajuwon. So awesome. That's really good news for Sasser. Quentin Grimes was a third-team All-American a couple of years ago, but mm-hmm. Sasser, the first AP first-team All-American since Hakeem. Couple of teams that I'm intrigued to watch in the NCAA tournament that I think some people are kind of undervaluing and underrating. Mm-hmm. You kind of kidded about Marquette.
I think Marquette's really good.
I think Marquette can make a deep run in this tournament. I'm also a bit bullish on Gonzaga. They've been playing really well.
People are sleeping on them. Drew Timmy's still damn good in the middle.
They didn't play all that well. Well, I shouldn't say that. Their out-of-conference this year wasn't as good as some previous out-of-conferences, and they've lost some players from last year's team, like Chet comes to mind. But they finished the season, and I know they play in the WCC, but they finished the season incredibly strong. I think Gonzaga has a deep run in them,
plus,
too,
they stacked
Gonzaga,
their
UCLA,
early season.
Sweet 16.
Yeah, they lost some. They had some tough matchups early, but it kind of made them tougher. I like the Zags, and I'll tell you another sleeper. Watch Miami. Miami's got a ton of talent, and they brought back almost everybody from last year when they were really good. Miami could do some things, too. Miami's got the possibility to be an upset special.
They can really score. They might have one of the more dynamic offenses in the country, the Miami Hurricanes. All right, that's it for us. I want to thank Joe George, the assistant to the regional manager, for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Go see him tomorrow in the Drift at Drift Bar in the Heights and watch some college basketball. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.